o'clock it was. Seated within the shop, sidelong to the window, with his pale face bent earnestly over some delicate piece of mechanism, on which was thrown the concentrated luster of a shade lamp, appeared a young man.
"What can Owen Warland be about?"
muttered old Peter Hovenden, himself a retired watchmaker, and the former master of this same young man, whose occupation he was now wondering at.
"What can the fellow be about? These 6 months past, I have never come by his shop without seeing him just as steadily as he is now. It would be a flight beyond his usual foolery to seek for the perpetual motion. And yet I know enough of my old business to be certain that what he is now so busy with is no part of the machinery of a watch."
"Perhaps, father," said Annie, without showing much interest in the question, "Owen is inventing a new kind of timekeeper. I am sure he has ingenuity enough."
"Pooh, child! He has not the sort of ingenuity to invent anything better than a Dutch toy,"
answered her father, who had formerly been put to much vexation by Owen Warland's irregular genius.
"A plague on such ingenuity! All the effect that ever I knew of it was to spoil the accuracy of some of the best watches in my shop. He would turn the sun out of its orbit, and derange the whole course of time, if, as I said before, his ingenuity could grasp anything bigger than a child's toy."
"Hush, father, he hears you," whispered Annie, pressing the old man's arm. "His ears are as delicate as his feelings, and you know how easily disturbed they are. Do let us move on." So Peter Hovenden and his daughter Annie plodded on, without further conversation, until, in a by-street of the town, they found themselves passing the open door of a blacksmith's shop. Within was seen the forge, now blazing up and illuminating the high and dusky roof, and now confining its luster to a narrow precinct of the coal-strewn floor, according as the breath of the bellows was puffed forth or again inhaled into its vast leathern lungs. In the intervals of brightness, it was easy to distinguish objects in remote corners of the shop, and the horseshoes that hung upon the wall. In the momentary gloom, the fire seemed to be glimmering amidst the vagueness of unenclosed space. Moving about in this red glare and alternate dusk was the figure of the blacksmith, well worthy to be viewed in so picturesque an aspect of light and shade, where the bright blaze struggled with the black night, as if each would have snatched his comely strength from the other. Anon he drew a white-hot bar of iron from the coals, laid it on the anvil, uplifted his arm of might, and was soon enveloped in the myriad of sparks which the strokes of his hammer scattered into the surrounding gloom.
"Now that is a pleasant sight," said the old watchmaker. "I know what it is to work in gold, but give me the worker in iron, after all is said and done. He spends his labor upon a reality. What say you, daughter Annie?"
"Pray don't speak so loud, father," whispered Annie. "Robert Danforth will hear you."
"And what if he should hear me?" said Peter Hovenden. "I say it again. It is a good and a wholesome thing to depend upon main strength and reality, and to earn one's bread with the bare and brawny arm of a blacksmith. A watchmaker gets his brain puzzled by his wheels within a wheel, or loses his health, or the nicety of his eyesight, as was my case, and finds himself at middle age or a little after, past labour at his own trade and fit for nothing else, yet too poor to live at his ease. So I say once again, give me main strength for my money, and then how it takes the nonsense out of a man. Did you ever hear of a blacksmith being such a fool as Owen Warland yonder?"
"Well said, Uncle Hovenden,"
shouted Robert Danforth from the forge in a full, deep, merry voice that made the roof re-echo.
"And what says Miss Annie to that doctrine? She, I suppose, will think it a genteeler business to tinker up a lady's watch than to forge a horseshoe or make a gridiron."
Annie drew her father onward without giving him time for reply. But we must return to Owen Warland's shop and spend more meditation upon his history and character than either Peter Hovenden or probably his daughter Annie or Owen's old schoolfellow Robert Danforth would have thought due to so slight a subject. From the time that his little fingers could grasp a penknife,